seconds.
One time for the underdog.
One time for the underdog.
Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm your host, Patrick B. David, and today we're going to talk about the one simple topic that gets asked about many, many times. Pat, how do I double my current money? So recently I shot a video called 20 Rules of Money, and one of the rules in that video was learning how to double your money. So before I actually get into talking about different ways of investments and how they double and what doubles this and what rate of return, all this other stuff, let me first talk to you about the biggest problem most people are facing when it comes down to trying to double their money. You know what it is? They don't have enough money. That's the problem. Here's a stat for you. 52% of millennials ages 18 to 37 years old have less than $1,000 in savings. And by the way, only 16.5% of millennials have over $20,000 in savings. Only 16.5. So what's the problem? Savings. We need more savings. We need you to have more money in your pocket. So why don't people have more money in their pocket? Because of five different challenges. Income, expense, taxes, investments, identity. Let's start off with the first two. Listen, when you think about your income, a lot of times people say, man, I want to have a very big income. Well, you may have a big expense problem, because what's left is what matters to you, right? The net that's left is matters to you. And then there's taxes, but that's a whole different discussion we'll have here in a minute. So think about two examples here. Example number one, we have somebody that makes $250 per year. That's $250,000 annual income. Many will say, Pat, I wish I made $250,000 year income. Many make $250,000 year income. But he spends $280 a year. That means he's losing $30,000 per year. You know how many people I know like this? Hundreds of people that overspend what they make. Example number two, somebody makes $80,000 per year, but they only spend $60,000 per year. They keep $20,000 per year. The guy making 80 is saving more than the guy making $250,000 year income. So one has an income problem because this guy would love to make $250,000. The other guy has an expense problem. This guy wishes he only spent $60,000 per year. So you may say, well, Pat, okay, I wanna make more money. Well, let's talk about your income and expense problem first. Let's first start off with income. What do you do to increase your income? If you have a job today and you're watching this, and you don't have something you do on the side, but you know every single talk show at night that you watch, Netflix, all this other stuff, you're wasting your time. You don't really care about having a lot of money in the same. You're just hoping to get lucky. If you got a job and you're broke, there's no reason you should be coming home at night to watch TV. You should be selling something, creating something, learning a skill, having a side hustle, working overtime, getting another job on the side. You need to be selling something. And the highest paid money, highest paid skill that you can learn about making more money is sales. So that's the income problem. Number two, let's talk about expenses. The one thing about expenses that I'll talk about, I have a few points here. I'll start off with the first one here. You need to fire your consultants. If you're a business owner running a business and you're paying somebody to do your website for you, just today we fired somebody. Literally just today we fired somebody. You may have somebody doing the website for you. You may have somebody doing something else for you, designing a logo for you, doing all this other stuff for you. Guess who they use? They act like they're the consultants, but they go behind closed doors. I spend hundreds of thousands of dollars before I realize all these consultants on the side. Let's develop a website for you. They develop a website for you. Let me do a logo for you for $4.99. They do it for you for $49 or $99. Let me figure out a way how to, you know, clean up this contracting and this verbiage that you have here. There's people that edit that. Let me do a voiceover for you for $200. There's people that do voiceovers here for $20. What else can you do to minimize your expenses? Renegotiate all your contracts. Go through your monthly expense on what you're spending on a monthly basis. Renegotiate your phone bill. Renegotiate your cable bill. Renegotiate your cell phone bill. Renegotiate your, you know, internet bill. Renegotiate your dry cleaners. Go to your dry cleaners and say, man, I've been a customer of yours for 10 years. Why do you rip me off? Give me a discount here, man. Renegotiate your tailor. Renegotiate every single thing. I pull my director of finance aside and I say, who do we spend money on? It's time to go renegotiate. We've been a customer with them for 5 years. How much money have we spent? Renegotiating time. Renegotiate all your contracts. Live below your means. Listen, for a long time for myself, the reason why a lot of people don't have money and savings to be able to double that money is because they overspend. Why do you go to Starbucks? Who cares about Starbucks? Yeah, I even own Starbucks stock. I should be telling you to go buy Starbucks, but why are you going to Starbucks? Why $5? Go Dunkin' Donuts, $1.50, $1.75. Go 7-Eleven, 75 cents. What is it? 99 cents. How much is it? $1.20-something, right? You go to 7-Eleven. Stop going to these name places, right? Stop going to all these places you're spending all this money on. Live below your means. By the way, I had $250,000 in the bank, and I was driving a Ford Focus. I was worth nearly $10 million, and I was renting. I was renting a small place, and I was worth $10 million, nearly $10 million, and nobody knew it. I'm renting. Everybody would say, I can't believe you're a millionaire, and you would live in a place like this, and you would rent it. Denver Post came up to me, and they wrote an article saying, this CEO and entrepreneur believes that real estate isn't the American dream. I said, absolutely it's not, because I was renting, and everybody was criticizing me. Live below your means. Rent everything you can for a long time. Rent everything you can. Use technology on minimizing payroll if you're running a company. Have fewer employees, pay higher. So don't try to hire way, way, way too many employees. Have fewer employees, pay higher. You'll keep them loyal to you. You don't have to constantly going through new employees, new employees, new employees. Pay higher, hire fewer. And then obviously, fire your consultants. Next is taxes. You know, sometimes, I mean, think about this. This $250,000 income guy or girl, if he or she lives in New York or LA versus Texas, this person's paying an additional 9 to 13%, most likely 13%, just for living in New York and for living in California. So watch, if it's 10% on $250,000, that's an additional $25,000 that went to the state that you wouldn't be paying if you're living in the state of Texas, Nevada. I think Tennessee is one of them, Florida. There's five or six states that you don't pay any state taxes in. So by the way, taxes is another issue you may be having. So you need to sit down and figure out long-term planning on what kind of money you want to really make and have you positioned yourself in the right place. I was in Florida last week. I was in Miami and I was in Orlando. And I said, the state of Florida's governor must be the worst recruiter in the world, because if I was the governor of Florida, I would have more Fortune 500 headquarters there than any other state, including Texas. Although Texas is tied with New York right now. I think they're competing for number one spot. I'd have everybody there. Weather's amazing, and you can pay no taxes in the state of Florida. Taxes is another issue that you may be facing. Next one is now investments. So now let's talk about investments here on different types of investments. On the bottom here, I put four different boxes that all investments fall under. All investments fall under these four different boxes, okay? You have high risk, low return. You have low risk, low return. This is like your money market account, your savings, your cash. You have low risk, high return. You have high risk, high return, which you wouldn't mind being here. You don't want to take a lot of risk, but you're having a lot of, you want to have a lot of high return, right? High risk, high return could be penny stocks, okay? And then the bigger the company or the stock could be lower here, right? For instance, let's just say low risk. Walmart may be a lower risk. And I don't know how high the return is going to be. They may be here. High risk, low return. There's a lot of investments that you go out and you buy a company saying, man, you know, if this company really takes off, it could do this. But there's not really a high return on it. It's a low return. So waste your money to be here. So again, how to double your money? This is the rule you got to be thinking about. Rule of 72. And rule of 105, okay, basic math. Rule of 72 is how long it takes for your money to double, okay? So what happens is whatever interest you get per year, you divide it by 72, meaning if I'm gonna get 72% every year on my money, that means it's gonna take 1 year for my money to double. If I make 36% return on my money, it'll take my money 2 years to double. If I make 24%, 3 years. 18%, 4 years. 12%, 6 years. 9%, 8 years. 6%, 12 years. The same math applies on the 105, except this is how long it takes for your money to triple. So you would take, if I get 50%, that means it would take my money 2 years to triple. Same exact thing, you divide the 105 by the interest you're getting on how long it would take your money to double or triple. So now you may say, well, Pat, I would love to have 72%. Is there someone like that out there? I would love to have 9%. Is there something like that out there? The decision you got to make is you got to answer two things. What's your risk tolerance and what's your time horizon? Let's talk a little bit about going back to this on the investment side. Okay, a few things you got to keep in mind about investments. People send me emails and they'll say, do you think I need to invest in Uber? Do you think I need to invest in Snapchat? You know, do you think I need to invest in Facebook? Do you think I need to invest in this stock? What do you think about this ticker? And they'll send it to me all the time, and they just want me to go through the tickers. And I'm not doing that. I'm a Series 7 broker, Series 6, 31, 26, Life and Health, Securities, all this other stuff. But I'm not doing that on all of them. I am more concerned about you getting the right mindset than trying to pick the next stock. I was at the flower shop the other day, and these successful Iranians who own this flower shop, and they come to me and they say, look, everyone knows who you are and how successful is your business. Give us one tip on where we should invest. I said, I don't give those tips. My goal is to make you think right. If you think right, you'll learn how to double your money. If you can learn how to think right, you'll double your money. Not one stock, and not one single real estate investment or certain property, how to think right. So let's talk about the thoughts. Number one, specialize. Let me explain what I mean by specializing. I met an art dealer. She knows everything about art out there. Let me tell you, and I'm talking like $3 million art and $2 million art and $6 million art and $600,000 art. She knew everything about it. You know how much she knew about stocks? This much. Guess what? Her specialty is art. I know people who specialize in real estate, commercial real estate. They know everything about commercial real estate. You know how much they know about residential? This much. Because their specialty is commercial real estate. Specialty is art. Specialize. Yes, you want to know a little bit about everything to be dangerous so you know the language, but go out there and specialize in one thing. Next, don't buy emotional. Let me explain to you what I mean by don't buy emotional. I hear a lot of people say, invest in what you buy. Really? If I invest in what I buy, I'd invest into Slurpee. You know, you invest in what you buy. That's like a kid. I go invest into ice cream. But you got to invest in what you buy. I love Skittles. No, it's not about investing in what you buy. This is not an emotional game. This is a logical game. Investments is not an emotional game. You got to decide logically. You worked your butt off. Did you just hear the stats I gave you? 52% of millennials have less than $1,000 in savings. You know how hard you got to work to make $250,000 or make your millions or have $100,000 of, you know, investable cash? Do you really want to just throw it away? No, you don't want to do that. So the point is, don't buy emotionally, buy logically. Do your research, find out. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? Why should I? Why should I not? Do your part logically. Three, invest what you know. Invest in what you know. Don't invest in what you don't know. Okay, I mean, for me, I was sitting down the other day and I'm talking about baseball cards. I'm gonna talk to you about a little bit different things here about baseball cards. And this guy, one guy was saying, Pat, I heard you talk about baseball cards. I think baseball cards are a waste of time. I said, what do you know about baseball cards? He says, nothing. I don't need to know nothing. Who in a right mind would go out there and buy a stupid piece of cardboard for $70,000? I said, who? I said, my gosh. You must not know nothing about baseball cards, which makes sense. You're not educated about it. I said, do you know there's a card out there called Honus Wagner TTO's 206? It's a Honus Wagner card. A PSA 8 was bought in 96 for $640,000. I said, do you want to know what that card is worth today if you wanted to buy? He said, what? Some would pay upwards of $10 to $15 million for that card. What if you bought that card in 96 for 640? It's worth $10 to $15 million today. A PSA 5 was sold for $3.2 million just 7 years ago. Some may say $20 million. A Mickey Mantle card, 1952 tops, for instance. You can put the image up. I own one of them myself. A PSA 8, a PSA 9 in 96. Mario, you got to hear this. A PSA 9 Mickey Mantle, 1952 tops, sold for $76,000. Wow. A PSA 8.5 sold in November of 2016 by Heritage Auctions, a lot of credibility, for $1.3 million. from $76,000 to $1.3 million. That PSA 9 cart is worth $2, $3 million today. But the point is this, invest in what you know. If you know nothing about baseball cards, don't even listen to anything I just said. Nothing. Let it go through here. Don't waste your time with it. If you do, study Michael Jordan BGS 10, see if you can get one. Study Ted Williams 1939 Play Ball. Study a Willie Mays rookie card, 1952 Tops. He's 85, 86 years old. He's still around, but who knows what's going to happen. There's a lot of value upside on that. Study what it is to go out there and get a Jerry West rookie card. Study what it is to go out there and get a 1952. You know, I can go on. I don't want to go there. The point is this. Invest in what you know when it comes down to investments. Number four, stock ownership is business ownership, just so you know that. Don't look at it any smaller than that. If I own a stock of Microsoft, I'm a business owner. I own a piece of it. I own a piece of Microsoft. That is a very, very big deal to have ownership. Buffett says this all the time. Stock ownership of a company means you're a business owner. You own a piece of that company. Don't take it lightly. It's just about how many more pieces of that company can you own. This is how all of a sudden Buffett went from owning a few shares to a lot of shares to the majority holder. Guess what? Now this is my company because I own the most shares. You can do that as well. It all starts with owning one share. And so I remember the first time I bought a Nike shoe, I was so excited. I bought it for $27 the first time I bought a Nike share. I was 20 years old, I got out of the army. I'm like, dude, I own a part of Nike. I'm an owner, man. I was so excited and proud of myself to buy the first Nike share. Buy and hold, very simple. People look at my body and they say, man, you must work out, you know, 6-7 days a week, all this other stuff. This is I am 6'4", 6'5", 230 pounds because I've been working out 3 to 4 times a week since I was 14 years old. That's a long time that I've been working out. Investments are the same way, buy and hold. So quickly, when I talk about risk tolerance and time horizon, what is your time horizon? I wanna be a billionaire tomorrow or next year, buy and hold. That person with patience is gonna beat you because you don't have patience. You're trying to become get rich quick, all this other stuff. So that kind of message appeals to you. A person that watches today's message is not seeking to get rich quick. They want to think the right way. Next, taxes. I already talked to you about that. Last but not least, cheap. Goes back to me talking to you about firing your consultants. And last one, identity. We were in Orlando. This guy comes up to me named David. Good guy. David comes up to me and he says, hey, Pat, let me ask you a question. He says, so you talk identity a lot. How do I improve my identity? And what do I do with identity? All this. I said, listen, your identity pulls your income. If your identity is a $500,000 identity, it's mathematically impossible to be below $500,000 for a very long time. Some of you guys are saying, Pat, what the hell do you mean by that? Will you work for $20,000 a year? You won't, will you? Why? Will you work for $40,000 a year? $60,000 a year? $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, $1 million a year. You've said yes to one of them on whatever they're paying you right now. Do you know why? Because that's your identity. That is your identity. You may not like to hear that, but it's your identity. It's impossible for $500,000 a year identity to be accepting a $60,000 a year salary. It's impossible, unless if the potential is a $2, $3, $4, $5 million a year income, because it got to go more than that. So if you have $5,000 in savings, that may be a lot of money to you, and you have an identity issue. If you have $28,000 in savings, that may be a lot of money to you. If you have $48,000 in savings, that may be a lot of money to you, because you have an identity issue. You gotta fix this identity on how you think, on what you think you deserve, and all of a sudden you start pulling all of that in your life. I don't know what it is, it's just that's how it works. So now, having said all of this, by the way, identity, there's a video on how to recreate yourself. It's a good video for you to watch. And if you haven't watched the video on 20 Rules of Money, I highly recommend you watching that video. But I'm not done because I want to talk to you about a few different investments. Okay, so let's go through them. Options you have. Stocks. You know, there's different types of stocks that you can own. You can own a stock of a small cap. It's a smaller company that's going up. Mid cap, large cap. You know, you can buy stocks in companies that have been around for a long time. They're very established. You can buy stocks in newer companies. You can buy stocks by technologies. And by the way, Warren Buffett's philosophy isn't to diversify. Warren Buffett's investments were actually very concentrated to industries. It wasn't about spreading it too much. He specialized in industry and he concentrated on owning companies in that industry. He's a very big fan of insurance, by the way, Warren Buffett. So he concentrated, right? Stocks are the same exact way. First, start studying what industry you want to concentrate on, then start picking your stocks. And slowly but surely start watching them one by one by one. If that's the route you want to go to, bonds are another one. Bonds are, your returns on bonds are going to be lower. It's never going to be higher unless if you're getting junk bonds, which junk bonds are companies that are risky companies that are coming to you for a loan, because bond is really an IOU. I come to you, I'm a company, I say, we're trying to raise $50 million, and the way we get it is by giving you bonds. You give me $100,000, and every year I give you 6% on that bond, which $100,000, 6%, $6,000 to you. And then 10 years later, the bond matures. 5 years later, the bond matures, and you get your $100,000 back at a higher or lower, $80,000 or $120,000, depends on where you're at. But that's bonds. You're not really going to get the highest return in bonds. Depending on what age you are and your risk tolerance, bonds are great investments. If you're a boomer, higher, again, you're looking for low return but more guarantees. Wine is something a lot of people look into, investing into wine. I know a friend of mine that has $500,000 of wine collected for himself, and he knows it. But why does he do it and I don't even touch it? Do you know how much I touch wine? This much. You know why? Because I don't know nothing about the investment side of wine. I have a good glass of wine with my friends, but ask me to go specialize, I have this much interest in wanting to specialize in wine. But he does. So wine is a tricky business. It's almost like some of my friends that are trying to get into horse races and go to Kentucky Derby and start, you know, breeding horses, all this stuff. There is money in it, but it's risky. If you know the right trainers and the right people, great, but it's not something I'd be encouraging you to start investing into right now. If you got $10 million to throw away, and you're a billionaire watching this, and it's on your bucket list to say, I had a horse that raced in a Kentucky Derby. Go do it. I may do that one day. Honestly. Don't be surprised if 10, 20 years from now, I have a horse in a Kentucky Derby just to say, because it's on my bucket list. I love the Derby. I love horses. I just don't know if that's going to be the way I'm going to make my money. Currency. A lot of people say, Pat, can you talk about currency? If you want to specialize in it, there are people making money. But it's a very small percentage of people that are making money in currency. Options. Very risky. Those who know it, they make money. Flipping real estate. I got friends that flip real estate and they do it very well. It generally is about flipping real estate. I would say the most important thing in flipping real estate is about, you know, the team you put together. Painting, same thing. Collectibles, I already told you about collectibles. Rental income, real estate. And last but not least is becoming an investor in businesses, which is what I prefer to do. That's what I like. Listen, in here, you'll notice the four categories. This is from Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant, right? You got the left side, the right side. Employee, top left, then self-employed, 1099. Then you have business owners who are 1099 and they have employees that work for them. And then you have the investor. I'm gonna tell you here right now, the fastest way for you to double your money, for me at least, this is how I am fully bought into this, and increase your income and minimize this and have taxes be on your side and increase your identity, investments, all this stuff. Look, I will debate anybody over and over and over again when they get up and they tell me real estate investments is the way to go. Look, go through Forbes 400, Fortune, you know, go through Forbes 500, the richest people in the world, go through them and see how many of them made their money off real estate. Now watch, before you debate it, people say, Pat, you can't say that, they all own real estate. How did they make their money? How did they make their money? Entrepreneurship, starting a business. Owning a piece of the business, equity, private equity, investing. I want to own a piece of this. A startup, a risk with a business has the highest X factor, highest upside. That's a business. That's what you get into. Not on the other side of saying, I'm going to go out and sell real estate. And then when these guys become, you know, you're worth $10 million, $20 million, $50 million, $100 million, $500 million, $1 billion, then you have to buy real estate. Then they go buy real estate. Of course, then they start making some money on real estate and they have these rental income and all this other stuff. But I'm going to tell you the number one way for you to double your money and have more money to help you out with income is you got to go out there and start a business. You got to go out there and be an entrepreneur. There's nothing above it. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to keep preaching this until God takes away my ability to speak to you, or somebody may say, Pat, it's time for you to leave. But I'm going to make sure till the day I'm done, I'm going to be preaching entrepreneurship to you. So above everything I just talked about here, fixing your income problem, learn how to sell, become an entrepreneur, and then specialize in what fits with you, and then start slowly but surely investing into that business. Thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.